This is the Colorado Real Estate Experience, where we help you build wealth through real estate. My name is Dick Girard, and today we are going to talk about something that's near and dear to all of our hearts, credit. And I've got my guest today is going to be Justin Goodman, and he is with eCredit Advisors. He is my go-to credit fixer, and we're just going to answer some questions that I get all the time and about credit, and see if this will help anybody out there. So, how's it going today, Justin?
Hi, Dick. Doing well. Thank you very much. It's good to be with you.
Yeah. So let's just kind of talk a little bit about just the basic, you know, credit stuff, and some I've got some questions for you, and we'll just kind of go from there. But, you know, the one question that I get all the time is about, you know, everybody's got a credit score, an app or a credit card, or somebody's giving them, you know, you can go to freecreditreport.com and all that kind of stuff. And they say, oh, my credit score is, you know, 760 or 750 or whatever. And then I pull their credit and it comes out different. Can you kind of explain where all that comes from?
Yeah, absolutely. So a credit score in general is a numerical assessment of an individual's ability to leverage money via a loan or revolving lines, and what the likelihood is of them paying that back on time, right? And so different types of lenders assess information differently. So, for example, a mortgage lender would look at and scrutinize a person's payment history differently than would a car dealer or a business lender, or an insurance agent or the like. And so there are different types of credit reports for all of those different lanes, right? A mortgage lender looks at a mortgage report. An auto dealer looks at an auto report, because somebody that's a good risk for a car loan is not necessarily a good risk for a mortgage, and vice versa. And so there are multiple different scoring models, FICO being the, kind of gold standard in scoring models. They have multiple different scoring models for each individual type of lending outlet. Now, the types of scoring models that you're referring to, I would assume you would mean Credit Karma or Credit
right.
Sesame or
yep.
any of these credit monitoring apps. So those are typically Vantage scoring models. It's just a different scoring model. It is not one that any lending decision is based off of. And so they are not, there's not as much onus on them to scrutinize the information as closely as, say, a mortgage lender who's looking to extend $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 worth of money via a loan. This is just more for a reference. And so typically they're tied to, we'll use Credit Karma as an example, a free service, a free credit monitoring service that is provided. There's value provided there, and their business model is designed to get people to entice people, let's say, to apply for credit cards or for loans or for whatever vendor-type product that they happen to be touting on their site at that time. And so the scoring models just tend to be a lot more liberal. And so a very common occurrence, and I know you know this in your space, is, you know, you've got an individual that comes to you ready to pull the trigger on a mortgage because they've got a nice 700 credit score, so says Credit Karma. You pull it, and it turns out that it's in the low 600s, and that's just simply based on the different scoring model that's employed for the access that they have, which is Credit Karma, to a credit score versus what a mortgage tri-merge would produce. And so it's just, there is not one fixed credit score that exists, and that's a common misconception that there is. There's different credit scores for different type of scenarios.
Right. Yeah, and it just is so confusing because there's so many different things out there. Now you get them on your credit card statements, you get them, you know, when you go to Credit Karma or any of these free places, but they're all used to entice you to do something. That's usually what those scores are doing, and that's why they're usually a lot higher than what we pull as a mortgage lender.
Sure. Well, I can't help but think, and forgive me for sounding like a conspiracy theorist, that this confusion is by design, right? The more an individual, this is just my thoughts and decade plus experience doing this, is the more an individual is, you know, capable of intelligently and proactively seeing to their finances, the more informed they are, the more educated the decision will be, which places runs counter to what most creditors, how most creditors operate, where they want to be able to control the transaction or the credit that's extended. And, you know, often the information that's available to the average person is, I have to say, misinformation. I mean, if you, knowing what I know about the scoring models and the way credit actually works, to look online at the information that's provided, typically through these resources like Credit Karma or Experian or, you know, anybody else, all with, you know, vested interest in certain outcomes, most of it's incorrect. Just a great classic example is you'll see that oftentimes different websites or different, you know, outlets touting the benefit of paying off collections, which, while it sounds counterintuitive, is quite the outcome or that provides is quite the opposite of what one would think. It actually typically lowers a person's credit score. And so what a rational individual would think the way credit operates is not often not the case. And that's, again, the entire scenario, the entire credit matrix is created by the creditors, the collection agencies, the federal government, and the credit bureaus all sort of come together to create this legal framework. And then the federal government exempts themselves from it, and the creditors go out of their way to bend and break the laws that they help craft. And they have a vested interest in people having middle-of-the-road credit scores that justifies a the information that's provided that leads to the suppression of a credit score justifies higher interest rates on loan products. And across the entire finance spectrum, it seems fairly obvious to me that this confusion is put in place on purpose so that individuals are less able to make informed decisions on their own behalf.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, and it's sad because it they have so much control over, you know, our buying power or our borrowing power and things like that, that and when they make mistakes, it takes act of God to get things off the credit reports and things like that too. So it's just amazing how it is. But I think I want to drill down on what you were saying there a little bit more, because that was a couple of my other questions that I have on there too. But just to the one other thing that I wanted to say is I never get the same score as whatever the client thinks they have. So that is that confusion that you're saying. I never, someone says they have a seven, you know, unless someone says they have an 800 credit score, then they usually do. But anything other than that, if they say, oh, I looked and I got a 750 credit score, it's never 750. And it's just that confusion that they do put in there. But let's talk about why they're giving those credit and just what you said, because it's all about, I think a lot of the credit bureaus and Credit Karmas and all those types of anybody that's giving you your credit scores is trying to sell you something, right? They're trying to gather information from you so you will share your information and they can either sell you something or they can sell your information to someone who will sell you something.
That's absolutely correct. In fact, just in general, not even related to finance, it's staggering at the extent to which we Americans share intimate information. Yep. Just to fill out create an account to look at Instagram for instance. But yep. Your Credit Karmas and your Experian and your Equifaxes, they're not charitable organizations, right? They're not philanthropists. Right. They are in the business of monetizing information. And so while Credit Karma doesn't directly sell you a product that you exchange cash for, you are giving them a wealth of information that enables them to define who you are and your habits as a consumer, and then take that and monetize it with the various affiliates that they work with, as well as, you know, the the bounties that they're paid for you applying for credit or loans or auto insurance or a mortgage or a tax preparer, again, whatever product du jour that they're touting, while they might not be selling you something in the traditional sense of the word, they are most definitely monetizing the information you give them, which is part of the value proposition that, you know, comes with them giving you a quote free credit report and credit analysis, which in the interest of keeping it positive, I'll just say is, you know, it's a better deal for them than it is for the consumer that looks at this free credit information that they're given. And so what they don't, I would say, what they don't exercise full transparency is to the extent by which they take information. I mean, if you think about it, an individual is giving them the information allows them to generate a credit report or a credit summary, regardless of the level of accuracy of that credit report, whether it be a mortgage report or a car report. Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion have all of your information. And you're giving it to Credit Karma. They're able to digest and break down into any different type of demographic that they want to package the information and sell it. They know your credit age anyways, your credit sophistication. They can come up with, they actually ask you to give your income information in there to update your income. So they'll know your income, your gender, where you live, your spending habits, your age, correct. And so that information is invaluable to advertisers and marketers all over the place. That is their business model. That's where the bulk of their money comes from. I have Credit Karma, and I'm in the credit business for 15 years, and I know, a substantial amount about the way credit works. And even I use Credit Karma, and I didn't even know that until, 3-4 years ago, that to the extent by which that they actually took information. Now you look at an Experian and an Equifax and a TransUnion, which are multinational organizations. They're all over the world. That information is just flying around in the ether everywhere. The overwhelming percentage of data breaches where people's identities are stolen and identities are compromised comes from those three bureaus. Information that's being either transferred or stored by TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax. And again, they're not just friendly neighborhood credit score providers. They take that information. That's how, Capital One knows to send you a specific credit card offer. That's how, the loan company knows to send you a specific type of offer in the mail, or, whatever type of product that's being touted by whatever type of vendor. That's how they tailor fit that message. That's how they also, we can get really sci-fi here. That's how they know how to tailor fit messages that you see come on your computer, products that you see on pop-ups and things like that come from the information that's associated with, your credit report, you, and by extension, your IP address and all of that. And so to be able to be more proactive about how credit works, to have a better guard of your information and understand the magnitude by which this information is being transmitted around, a person can take steps to protect themselves from any sort of fraud or compromise, but also take steps to cultivate a better credit profile that'll enable them to leverage credit at a much less expensive rate than does the average American, who, through no fault of their own, really doesn't know a ton about credit because it's not taught anywhere. Right. It's not taught in schools, which it should be. There is no real viable, that I'm aware of anyways, outlet online where you can just go and access information other than just basic stuff like pay your bills on time and don't overextend yourself credit wise, but to be able to understand the nuance of the credit reporting laws and how to properly leverage them to hold creditors and collection agencies and this entire cabal of vendors accountable to the laws that they help craft is quite an undertaking.
Oh, it's crazy. And, I don't know how. I mean, I deal with this stuff all the time, and I'm confused, about how credit is done, and sometimes how to, counsel people. And, that's why we use you a lot, because it is so confusing. And, I kind of use the analogy of it's like the Wizard of Oz, and it's like there's somebody back there, pulling the strings, and you have no idea what who's reporting what on your credit report, and you know, you just, like you said, you just try to pay your bills on time and try to do the things that you were always taught. But it doesn't always work out that way. And it's just crazy. But there are ways to so one other example, just like what you said, they're taking your information and the algorithms and the things that they can do. It's amazing what they can figure out on where from that information on who you are and what you're going to buy and all those kinds of things. I heard a story. This was probably 7 or 8 years ago that Target was using these algorithms on what you buy and what you purchase, and that's what would go into what they'd sell you. I mean, what they'd send you in their direct mail stuff, and they knew when someone was pregnant almost before they knew that they were pregnant. That's how good their algorithms were, and they could start sending them stuff on babies and things like that before you even knew you were pregnant. And it's just amazing what they could do.
Before you knew you were pregnant,
and that was disturbing. Yeah, and that was you know, that was 7 or 8 years ago. So what they can do now, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine. You know,
well, sure. I mean, if this gets off the subject of credit a little bit, but nevertheless, I mean, you. Just to use credit card as an example, your email address is part of the information that you give them, right? So they know how to send you updates and stuff like that. They can associate that email address with your social media profiles.
Yep.
And with your, you know, for example, if it's Gmail or even if it isn't, they can then look at what your browsing history is because Google sells that
right
to them. And,
yep,
you know, that's how they're, again, able to craft a product. It's not a coincidence that you see what you see online and you see the content that you see when you're looking at your social media profiles. That's all just, again, based off of information that exists on you and information that you help provide and don't know to protect.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really insulate yourself 100% because, I mean, basic public information is out there. But nevertheless, to tie that back into credit, to be able to have a basic understanding of how credit works and at least know how to know when you don't know what you're up against, and then properly retain an individual or a firm that can advise and take measures on your behalf, much right. The same way an attorney would for somebody in a legal situation, is an advantage that most people don't have.
Right, right. Well, I want to go. I got a couple other things that I want to kind of go over. So when I pull credit for a mortgage, a lot of times that client will, you know, let's say you called me up and you wanted to buy a house or you wanted to refinance your current home. So you do an application, we pull your credit. Immediately that same day, you could get 4 phone calls from other mortgage companies asking about refinancing or purchasing or that type of thing. And that is because those credit bureaus saw that we pulled credit for a mortgage. So they sold that information to as leads to other mortgage companies.
Okay.
And is just amazing to me on how they have that power to be able to do that.
Sure. I mean, forgive me, is there a question in this?
Well,
or what's the question?
The question is, I have, I let some of my clients know about the opt-out pre-screen. Do you recommend doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if nothing else, it cuts down on the amount of correspondence that you receive. That doesn't affect your credit.
Right.
But that is one step that can be taken. You can also notify the credit bureaus that Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion, you can put freezes on your credit reports as well, which is not designed to mitigate what you're talking about, but it does slow it down. So if you've got a, when you're not in, when an individual is not, getting themselves into position or in position to make some sort of a financial move, or i.e. buy a house or a car, or, you know, apply for a credit card or something like that, we recommend always freezing their credit report, each bureau. What that does is it prevents any sort of action from taking place with regard to their credit profile for each respective bureau without their express permission. And so a lot of that sort of subterranean activity that takes place is stymied by that freeze being put in place. I can't say that it stops it altogether, but I know that when a credit report is freeze, it makes it more difficult for these vendors to take these passive looks at individual credit profiles the way they do with regard to those pre-screening offers. So one step that can help with that is to, when you know you've an individual's closed on their loan and they don't have anything on the immediate horizon with regard to what they're going to try to do with leveraging credit, go ahead and freeze their credit reports, and they can just undo that with a phone call. Or in the case of Experian, you can do it on their app.
Okay. And what's the best way to do it? So you have to call each one or go to the website and you could do it that way?
Yeah, so you could, with Experian, you can download their app or go to Experian.com, you create a profile. You can create a profile with all three of them. And I know for an absolute certainty, because I do it myself and we advise clients on it, with Experian, there's just literally a button that you can hit. Right. I would have to assume that TransUnion and Experian have the same thing via a web portal, but short of that, I know that you can definitely call and freeze that.
Right.
That's been the traditional way of doing things.
Okay.
With the advent of COVID, things have become a lot more digital than
right.
the old-fashioned way of just calling and getting something taken care of. But that's typically the way to go about doing it. And setting up a profile with those three bureaus is not a bad idea in general, by the way, because they already have a profile for you. You're just setting up access for you to get at your own profile
right.
that they essentially look at least the forward-facing, the consumer-facing piece of it. And so that's good to have on hand so that you can always log in and look at information on your own behalf. They do have a do-it-yourself portal with regard to trying to dispute information on there as well. In and of itself, there's nothing particularly wrong with attempting to, you know, contest derogatory information on there. It's not set up to help the consumer be successful in actually prevailing in a situation. It's just there more or less to comply with Fair Credit Reporting Act, giving an individual a means by which they can address some sort of a discrepancy or a grievance with regard to the way something's reporting. But unless an individual, and I'm kind of getting off the trail here a little bit, but unless an individual knows how to properly cite specific statutes within a law that's germane to the item that they're talking about in potentially disputing something themselves, the odds of that actually being remedied are very low. But nevertheless, it's there. And so there's value in setting up that profile
right.
on all three of the bureaus.
Yeah, and there's also good and bad things about disputing things. I mean, there's a lot of times that we can't do mortgage things if things are disputed. And then you have to get the dispute taken off and those types of things too. So it's when you're trying to do it yourself, it definitely can get into some sticky situations. So it's
absolutely yeah. You can represent yourself in court,
right?
It's legally allowed to take place. And though I'm not 100% sure how the stats are, but from what I'm told, it doesn't typically produce a favorable nope. outcome.
Yeah, even if you're an attorney, you don't represent yourself, right? That's what they say.
But I mean, with specific to your field, when qualifying for a mortgage, there's a lot more to qualifying for a mortgage than just an okay credit score, a qualifying credit score. There are, you know, guidelines and overlays and the stipulations that have to be met. So in order for a credit profile to fit into one of those boxes, there's yep. a little bit more to it than just a score, which can be manipulated by putting things in dispute, which, again, to get off the trail a little bit, when something's been frivolously, and I'm doing air quotes with my fingers because that's a legal term that exists in the credit space, frivolously challenged, not necessarily that they are, items are thrown into what's called account dispute status and removed from the math that's used to calculate a score.
Right.
Which is why your underwriter will always deny those loans. That's typically a byproduct of an individual trying to do it themselves.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, and speaking of that, I get a lot of people that, and especially first-time home buyers and things that, you know, they have a little bit of information and they will call up and they're like, okay, the first step to get somebody pre-approved is to, you know, fill out a loan questionnaire and pull your credits, look at your liabilities, look at your income, and do our debt to income ratios, right? So, yeah. And the everybody is, do you have to pull my credit, you know, or is it a hard credit pull or a soft credit pull? And I don't want my credit pulled because, you know, the too many inquiries is going to hurt my credit. And, just talk to that a little bit, or they say that they're going to, you know, pay their credit cards down or pay their credit cards off before they want their credit pulled. And, you know, that they usually are doing the wrong things to help your credit. What I always recommend them is let's pull your credit and see where you're at, and then I will help coach you to where you need to be instead of having them try to do it themselves. Do you kind of agree with that?
I agree with it completely. I mean, it's difficult to get to a destination if you don't have a solid idea where you're embarking from. And right. So, you know, the people do, and you know, it's again a byproduct of not fully understanding. It's not anyone's fault, but do tend to place an over-exaggerated bit of value in the adverse effect of an inquiry on a credit report. I mean, a mortgage credit inquiry is typically between 2 to 6 points. And so if you don't have a mortgage application taken and a credit report pulled, I don't understand how one could even begin right. to formulate an approach at moving forward on a mortgage. If one's going around shopping around having credit reports pulled at multiple different places, generally speaking, and this is, you know, pro tip number 73 here, the all of the different inquiries are aggregated and counted as one in terms of score. Right. If they're within like a 30-day period, I mean, the algorithm and all the creditors all know that this person's just shopping right.
Right.
And so
they do that so you can shop right. Right.
It's, yeah, exactly. It's, yeah. Right.
So
yeah.
they want another, to allow your credit to be pulled a couple times.
Right. To actually. Proceed, but the upside of being engaged with a professional such as yourself, or if there are credit issues, by extension, somebody like myself here, mm-hmm. Credit Advisor, or any professional that can, you know, advise intelligently, that can't happen until we take a look at. Or when I say we, I mean more right. so you. Mm-hmm. Until you take a look at what their situation is. I mean, the doctor, when you go to the doctor's office, he doesn't. Advise you to, or excuse me, you don't say, doctor, before you do your checkup, I want to go home and do some jumping jacks
right.
and eat vitamins and get some good sleep and start eating right and come back to you in 3 months and then you can do the checkup.
Right.
The idea is to establish a baseline right then and there.
Right.
Now we're segueing back into your coverage. And from there, you can intelligently advise on steps that need to be taken. And again, to get off into mortgage weeds, if it is a simple situation where there's just some over-leveraging of credit card balances, an individual can pay that down and you can do a rapid rescore, which
right.
adjusts the score on a report and bypasses the need for a new credit pull. So, you know, you're an individual looking to purchase a mortgage, part of the value that they're given, apart from the fact that they're extended a loan at a good rate, is the advice that is given to them by a mortgage professional as to how to position themselves to benefit, to maximize the benefit, and to not have a credit report pulled in order to begin that process, which is counterproductive.
Right. Well, and I've also had people that are just, I've got to fix my credit before you pull it. And I convince them to pull it and they've got 795 credit, you know? And so it's all relative too. Some people say, oh, well, I have, you know, $300 on my, $10,000 card. Let me pay that off before you pull the credit, and they've got 800 credit scores, you know, and or they want it to be over 800 when I pull it instead of 790, which doesn't make it one difference in the rate that you're going to get.
That's
on a mortgage.
Vanity. It's right. Vanity above 760. It's all vanity.
Yeah. Well,
in terms of score model.
Right.
Oh, go ahead.
No, and I've also had it the other way where someone says, "Oh yeah, I've got really good credit," and you pull it and it's 550. You know, but it's better than it was 2 years ago.
One of the universal truths I've just observed over my career with regard to that scenario is that very seldom does an individual ever have a true lock on what their credit is, good or bad.
Right.
The person who thinks their credit's terrible, their credit's usually better, and the person who thinks their credit's great is shocked to find out that it's not anywhere near where they thought it was.
Yep.
That's been true since I've been in the credit business. And again, that's just a byproduct of the lack of accurate, valid, viable information that a person can tap into. And it's not until the last really half decade that people, I'll take my hat off to the average individual now. They're at least now trying to be proactive, and they're doing the best they can with the information that they have. But again, that is in order for aid to be rendered, in order for advice to be given, in order for value to be provided, in the entire process, the first step is always to pull credit to see if there's a conversation that's even warranted. I mean, again, if a person's got an 800 credit score and they're serious about purchasing, or excuse me, a 780 credit score, and they're serious about moving forward with a home, they should not allow something as simple as paying $300 down on a $10,000 credit card to stand in the way of beginning a process.
No. Even if you have a 730 credit score versus from 730 to 740 to 760, it makes a little bit of difference, but it doesn't make, it's not a whether I should purchase or not kind of decision, you know?
Well, yeah. And that individual does not know that they have know what their credit score is on a mortgage report to begin with.
Right.
The first step's always, because the amount of benefit that can be provided in terms of credit advice, either by you or by somebody like us, although we don't deal with too many 780
credit cards, right? Exactly.
The amount of benefit that stands to be provided almost always outstrips the 4 to 6 point ding on for the inquiry.
Right. Yep.
And so,
but everybody, it's just what they know. You know, they don't know enough. They just think, and it also, if someone has a 580 credit, it doesn't matter how many dings you have on your credit score. It's not the dings on your credit score. I mean, it's not the inquiries, right? It's the not paying your bills and being late and those kinds of things that are affecting your credit. Not that we're pulling your credit too many times, you know.
And also in defense of that person with a 580, and it's also inaccurate and incorrect information, often not even their information that's on the credit report, which none of that gets unmasked unless a credit report's pulled in the first place.
Right. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? The credit report is the jumping off point to, you know, improvement or unmasking problems that one may have not known existed in the first place. That can apply to the 720 individual we're talking about or the 580 individual. It's always important to start off with a credit report, because if the person's situation's better than they thought it was, they can go ahead and proceed if there's nothing. And if it's worse, now they know, and now steps can be taken to mitigate that. Yep. And it all stops. The entire A conversation is just supposition until a credit report's generated.
That's right.
Well, I mean, we here, by design, go out of our way to avoid engaging in a conversation until we're looking at a credit report. I mean, we just won't even do it because it is, at best, supposition.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. You know what I mean? And
it applies with your field.
Yeah. Your car analogy or your trip, you know, I mean, if you can be heading toward wanting to go to Mexico, and if you head north, you might get there, but it might take you a long time, you know, going through Canada and the North Pole to get to Mexico.
It's an analogy that I just came up with from the hip, but if you don't know where you're starting from, I don't know if you know how you're going
to
get there.
That's right. No, I think it's a great way to look at it, and I'm definitely gonna use that. But so anything else that you we're gonna do this more often too, and just kind of keep people up to date on stuff. But if someone does have questions about credit, you know you can contact us and we can get them in touch with you if that's needed. Tell them a little bit about what you guys do to help my clients and who you can help.
Sure. Well, my firm is eCredit Advisor. We're a mortgage specific credit restoration firm. We've been in business about 18 years now. Kind of our niche that we crafted a long time ago, back when there was only a few companies in the country, is geared towards taking credit challenged potential buyers, people that are don't qualify for a mortgage, and in as rapid a fashion as possible, reconfiguring their credit profile, educating them on how to properly leverage credit, raising their score, and to the extent that they're raising their profile to the extent that they're able to qualify for a mortgage product and qualify well. So we do that by leveraging the consumer protection laws that the federal government puts out. We can hold accountable the collection agencies and the creditors to those laws, which a key provision is if there's inaccuracies or errors or violations or procedural wrong or missing information. A lot of times the other side, by the way, cheats with how they report. If we can catch that, shed a light on it, and make a proper statutory argument to the credit bureaus, who in this scenario act as a judge and jury in this, we can have negative information removed from a credit report. We can also help negotiate settlements on items that do make sense to settle. That's a conversation for another time, because generally paying collections hurts an individual's credit, but there are some that don't. Right. We help clients establish credit, and we do all of this kind of simultaneously. In certain states, we can bring legal action as well to compel credit bureau creditors to change or alter or cease reporting negative information. But we remove negative information, we minimize and mitigate derogatory information and the effect that it has, while simultaneously enhancing or adding good credit to get a person's credit profile, typically our normal clients between a 500 and a 580, somewhere in there, into the mid to high 600s or above, to be able to leverage capital on a mortgage. And, you know, in as quick a time frame as possible, generally about 4 months is our average turn time. And so that is a standard client for us, or first-time home buyers, or even the individual that we were discussing with a 700 credit score that's trying to get to 740, right, who, you know, half a percentage point on their $2 million refinance is a substantial
makes a difference, yeah,
amount of money. So, yeah, we advise in that sense, too. And every individual's credit profile, it's like they're like snowflakes or fingerprints. They're all unique, right? And so the strengths and weaknesses of a person's credit profile vary from person to person. Their scenarios are different, and you know, what we're good at, in as much as we've been doing it for going on 2 decades, is identifying that and crafting a solution specific to each individual.
Yep. Well, you guys do a great job, and I get, you know, I don't know, 4 or 5 credit repair type companies, you know, contacting me every week to sell their services. And I exclusively use you guys because I've used other places in the past, and it just there, and we can get into this on another one at a later date, but there's so many of these types of companies that don't do what they say they're going to do, and it's just sad that they just take your money, and for these people that can't afford to get their money taken either, you know. And so we use you guys you know, exclusively because you do a great job, and you know, it's helping people. And I think that the bottom line is, you know, using, you know, professionals like you and me to help guide you through these processes is the right way to do it. There's no reason to try to do it yourself when we can help you out and get you to where you want to go faster than you can do it yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a leaky toilet a few months ago. I, as much as I didn't want to, I had to pay a plumber $500 to fix it, because I knew if I did it, I'd have a flooded house.
Right.
And that same
cost you more than $500, right?
That's right. I could have, you know, destroyed my home. And that same thing applies with just about every other situation. It's this, your credit score is maybe the most important number in your life. There's a direct correlation between the quality of a person's life and their credit score. If you think of the fact that the average American, and I'm talking about just your normal average $40,000, $45,000 a year, whatever the median income is nationally, American saves somewhere in the neighborhood of around $175,000 over a 30-year period by having a 680 or better credit score versus a sub-680 because of the tiers that they go into in terms of interest and things like that. Now, for the average person, $175,000, whether it be over a 10, a 20, a 30, a 40, 50-year period, is a substantial amount of money. That's money that can be used to pay off an individual's house, start a business, put their kids through college,
Help with retirement. Yep, those types of things.
Help with retirement. Yep. I mean, you can go throw that on the blackjack table. It's just not money that you're donating to the bank.
Right.
All of those scenarios are better scenarios that a difference of a matter of, as you know, 20, 30, 40 points on a credit score can make that difference. And to be able to harness expertise and a couple decades worth of experience on your end and my end to be able to help an individual avoid paying an additional, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 in interest over the course of a 30-year period is very powerful.
Yep. I mean, well, and it's not and just so
to
yeah.
Be able to be proactive about their credit score is can literally affect their life.
And it's not just yeah, it's not just your mortgage, it's your car payments, it's all of those other payments too that you're leveraging and it. You know, and that's what we're here for on this channel is to help you build wealth, and that is a great way to build wealth. Another $175,000 can definitely help in that wealth building stuff. So, well, I appreciate you, Justin, and helping me out here, and I want to also offer anybody out there listening some free things. If you go to www.denverhomeownership.com and sign up there, we will give you a free wealth digest, annual financial reviews for you, and a home concierge service. There's a lot of things that we can give you by going to that website and signing up, and we'll help you out any way we can. Also, if you need any help at all, just give us a call or email or text us, and we will definitely help you out any way that we can. So thanks a lot, Justin, and have a great day, and we will talk to you soon.
Dick, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.